For over 6 years, Hank Thorpe hosted All of the Above Radio, the most intelligent, honest, and eclectic combo of music and talk that you never heard. But the more things change, the more things stay the same. Hank is back with a new version of the old scene. No more music, no more time constraints, but he still has great stories, great interviews, and more passion than a novel with Fabio on the cover. Once upon a time, Hank Thorpe was your bastion of good music, good talk, and full escapism. Now, Hank is your bastion for punchlines, passion, and perspective. Hank Thorpe, your former, present, and future favorite podcast host, presents all new, all different, but still, All of the Above. All of the Above.
For those of you who used to enjoy listening to me while I was in just a little bit of a mood, for those of you who used to listen to me and enjoy when I did a little bit of meandering, you're in for a treat. Welcome to all new, all different, but still, all of the above. My name is Hank. Hey, how you doing? You can find me on Spotify, for which I'm still, to this moment, so very proud to say. Search my name, Hank Thorpe, H-A-N-K-T-H-O-R-P-E. Hey, how you doing? On Spotify, and you'll find all new, all different, all of the above. It was a great, great, great day when I was approved to be on Spotify. I was really, really proud. It's a great way to get the show out to just a butt ton of people all at once. Something I would have loved to have done in the All of the Above radio days, but that could not happen because I was playing somebody else's music. You can email me, thehrt3@gmail.com or alloftheaboveradio.com. And I have two different Instagram feeds. Hank, hey, how you doing? No G at the end. Or at Hank Told You So. So for those of you who used to listen to All of the Above Radio, I mention you guys a lot because I appreciate how long you've stuck with me and have come with me throughout the years as I've learned and grown and become lots of different versions of myself. You know that I did a show every single week, every Tuesday, for almost 7 years. And not everything I said was exactly in a straight line. Some of the stories I told, some of the rants I had, they were kind of more like trees that had widespread roots and branches. The main source of the tree, the main trunk, was going up, but it spent a lot of time going out and then coming back to the source. And I am, I think I'm happy to tell you that one of those episodes may very well have happened here. I decided to sit down and just share my thoughts about the first 2 days of being without a mask at my job at the restaurant. I actually held back for like maybe 3 weeks taking my mask off. I'll tell you the reasons why in a little bit, and it was funny. Well, actually, one of the smaller reasons I decided to keep my mask on was out of a little bit of solidarity. My fiance, she's restaurant people also, and her company told them they had to keep their masks on, I think maybe 2 weeks after I was able to go optional on mine at my job. And she was, and I tried not to really say much about it, because she was getting to a point where she was really annoyed about putting the mask on, because she had been we had been vaccinated for over a month at that point. More and more people were coming into restaurants in general without the mask. It just kind of felt like it could be time if you wanted it to be. And she was getting kind of annoyed. So I kind of just kept my mouth shut. But out of solidarity, I was just like, well, if she can't take hers off, I don't need to take mine off. I don't care. Now, the rest of the reasons I will unearth as you get a little deeper into the audio that I sat back and recorded. I'm not going to lie. As I was chatting with you, I started to think about some instances over the last couple of days that happened that really did kind of annoy me, or some of the people that have annoyed me in my time. So you can kind of, I wasn't redlining at any point, but if nothing else, I was starting to get a little bit of a movement in my shoulders and get a little bit of a momentum as I was talking. If there's one thing I've noticed about me is when I talk downhill, I don't necessarily lose track of what I'm saying, but I'm not nearly as calculated with every word that comes out. You get that momentum every now and then. You start to get the feeling that either A, somebody's listening, or B, nobody's stopping you. You kind of start to talk downhill a little bit. It's a beautiful feeling. But if you're somebody who listens to what you say, you go back and you're just like, oh crap, is that going to cause repercussions later? And you know what? That probably makes for some really fantastic content. Actually, it doesn't probably. It does make for fantastic content because it's true. It's true. It's honest. Even if it's just true and honest in the moment. It's a beautiful thing. I would love to hear your thoughts about going mask off. Do you think all the way back in June of last year, was it too early? How has America handled it? How has your home state handled it? How are they handling it now? Feel free to email me about any of it. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm an expert on any of it, or that I'll agree with you, or that I will know what you're talking about. But if you've got an opinion, why not? Let's share it. You're about to hear mine. It's only fair that you tell me yours if you want to. If you want to just sit back and listen, don't let me stop you. In fact, thank you. But if you want to correspond, I've given you the vitals, and I'll give them to you again as soon as the audio kicks in. So sit back, relax, and let's have a chat about taking the masks off and why I'm not sure I want to just yet. We're a little over a year removed from the episode that I believe was titled "Because Margaritas on the Patio Won't Go Away." You'll have to check my work on that. But if you go into the all new, all different, all of the above archives, it was June 12th. That I do know. It was June 12th that I posted an episode about the state of Texas going back to, I believe at the time it was maybe 25% capacity in dining, for indoor dining for restaurants. And if you want to rewind, you don't have to, because mentally it was too taxing for a lot of us. But if you want to rewind back to June of 2020, a little over a year ago, we are just really at that point a few weeks removed from pretty much daily news stories about how many people have died from COVID-19. There's no real vaccine in sight. You still didn't really know how COVID was passed or how you got it. And if you lived in North Texas, it was some of the worst allergies that have ever been in the area in seriously over a decade. So anybody with any level of allergies pretty much thought they had COVID every single day. But what was happening at that same time is that, I'll speak to Texas for just a sec. I will not speak for the rest of the country. You may all chime in and tell me how it was for you. I know for those of you in California, it remained absolutely locked down for a very long time, and dining outdoors was really all you could do. But anybody else wants to chime in, THEHRT3@gmail.com. That's my Gmail address, or allofthe above radio.com. You tell me what it was like for you. But I know in North Texas, in the state of Texas, our governor was not about to let the economy shut down. And so restaurants started opening back up at 25%, and then 50, and then 75 slowly. And my restaurant that I work at was one of the later restaurants. They were doing their due diligence to try to kind of stay to go only. But I kid you not, there was some of our regulars were, I kid you not, actually beating on the door and complaining and bitching at us and cursing at us that we were not open. So my bosses buckled, knowing that staying closed longer might mean losing these people for good whenever we did reopen. And I remember being on microphone and telling you at the time how scared I was for restaurants to reopen because of the uncertainty of what COVID-19 was at the time. But I also told you just how annoyed I was to put on a mask. Like, I was scared to go back to work with people, but I was also really annoyed to wear masks, so that was a bit of a conundrum. With that being said, that's the setup. Because now, it's July of 2021. At this point, I have, I've been on a plane once to Tahoe, once to Philadelphia, once to Hawaii, once to Kansas City. And because my fiance and I are both in the restaurant biz, we never stopped working. So, we were pretty much... So, in large part for us, life stayed pretty normal, and we stayed wearing masks the whole time. Now, early on, in that episode, I believe it was the June 12th episode last year, I'm pretty sure I chronicled all the reasons why I couldn't stand wearing a mask and didn't want to wear them. And I come to you with a very entertaining, or at least entertaining to me, conversation as to how I actually kind of would like to keep the mask on. I don't know if you want to call it Stockholm Syndrome or if you want to call it just something else, but I got to a point where wearing the mask, I don't know, kind of became just like, oh, well, it went from, boy, this is really annoying. Wow, it's kind of annoying to try to breathe. Wow, I'm sucking on cotton every time I breathe, to, oh, well, people are getting smart and making masks, to, oh, this is not a big deal, to, now it's just on, and you're just kind of used to it, and you forget you're wearing it, and to the point where you're actually confused, and you're like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be wearing one right now. Hey, if you're vaccinated, all bets are officially off as of this moment. Except on planes, but we'll get to that. But I actually just kind of randomly, before I went and met my buddy for lunch yesterday, I just kind of took down a quick list of the reasons why I'm actually reluctant to take my mask off now. Just so just to color in, I am fully vaccinated and have been since the earliest parts of April. Early April, I got vaccinated, already been through my 2-week window, and my job went masks optional, I want to say, maybe right around Memorial Day, and I kept my mask on for the next, like, 2.5 weeks, actually a little bit longer, and I just kind of used the excuse of, oh, I haven't shaved, I look stupid under here, or, oh, well, I'm getting ready to meet my fiance's 81-year-old grandmother. I want to be safe. Which was true. But I have a list here of other slash actual reasons why I've kept the mask on. So the biggest reason I have kind of enjoyed keeping a mask on when I go to the grocery store, when I go to the liquor store, or just out in general, is that it's kind of been fun to be anonymous. I have enjoyed the anonymity of being able to have your nose and mouth and two-thirds of your facial expression covered. I'm a person who, I don't want the spotlight unless I seek it. And there's days that I would rather just absolutely fade into oblivion. And having a mask on kind of helped with that, because you have a guess as to what people look like underneath, but you don't really know. You don't necessarily know people's expressions, their mannerisms. There's a large bit of something that you miss when your nose and mouth and the expressions that follow those things cover. And I've been kind of enjoying it. It's been kind of fun to walk around the supermarket and not be something that people are looking at. And just to flip the coin over, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of psychological what have you. And I'm not even going to lie, I still care too much about what people say or think about me. And if there's less of me to see, it's a lot harder to make judgments or say things that may or may not be true, but you're just basing it on your perception. Perception is reality kind of took a weird back seat while everybody was wearing masks. Not gonna lie, kind of enjoyed it. I haven't had to worry nearly as much about putting lotion on my face because the ash is all covered. I mean, you could still have a dry forehead, but you step out into North Texas weather, that ends quick. And in general, I cared less about how I looked, whether it was shaving or moisturizing, in terms of being out around people. On nights where my fiance and I went out, or when we hung out with her friends, or when we went on vacation, you best believe I shaved. Especially if we were going on a date night. But just in general, man, I sure did not care. And I cared even less about how I was dressed. If you've known me for a long time, you've pretty much seen me in a pair of jeans or some pair of shorts with pockets as I go out into the world to run errands, grocery shop, and all of that. These last couple months, as I've been wearing a mask and feeling like people aren't really paying much attention to me or looking at me and making judgments, I've driven over to the grocery store wearing comfy, super comfy terry cloth shorts, warm-up pants, like all the non-formal things that I scoff at, I've been doing them. Boy, it's comfortable, I'm not gonna lie. It's really comfortable. And this is me taking a quick political stance, but I don't know if it's a medical or a political stance, actually. But just for the sheer practicality of people having masks on, you can probably look up some pretty objective science to see the amount of cases of the flu and just sickness in general and how dramatically it's dropped because people aren't coughing on each other, breathing on each other, talking to each other. People weren't shaking hands as much. There was a lot of human contact that went away that I once thought I would miss. And I'm happy to admit, I missed hugs. I missed hugs desperately. And I'm glad that they're back. but a lot of other close contact that are ways that you know to spread germs, they seem to be alleviated a little bit when everybody was wearing masks. And as a person who has a fine immune system, but has awful allergies and tends to catch a cold at least, we'll call it once a year, usually, this whole mask thing, I'm gonna miss it when things get back to normal and people stop caring and people stop wearing them all the time. And I'm sure there's one or two conservative folks that are banging the table and saying, masks never stopped people from being sick. COVID didn't exist. Damn liberal. And to you, I say, thank you for listening anyway. Maybe we disagree, but you know what? You found something on this entertaining. And for that, I appreciate you. THEHRT3@gmail.com. Feel free to tell me what you do agree with if you disagree with the fact that masks kept us from getting sick. I'm kind of dancing around all over the place, but for those of you who used to listen to all of the above radio once upon a time, a lot of you have said that this was kind of your favorite thing about what I did, was just kind of meandering and swerving on the road every so often, and yet we still continue to go the correct direction. So there's a few reasons, oh, I'm sorry, a few more reasons, and these are all related to my job, as to why, even if I take my mask off to go grocery shopping or to work out in Orange Theory whenever I go back or anywhere else, I might actually keep my mask on at work. At the massage spa, no questions asked, I'm keeping my mask on. And I think it's a good idea just because of how close you are to people when they're laying on their back and their face up and you're working on their neck and shoulders and their scalp. It's kind of a good idea to have a mask on. And I'm sort of surprised that we haven't been told it's mandatory. But at the restaurant, like I said, we've been mask optional since right around Memorial Day, and I kept wearing my mask and I kept making excuses. And now I teased it earlier, and now here are the reasons why I may very well continue to wear my mask at work. So, you know, I work at a bar/restaurant, neighborhood bar, lots and lots of regulars, lots and lots of entitled people, lots and lots of snarky people, people who verbally love to snap towels, lot of entitled people, a lot of jackasses. A lot of high-maintenance people, a lot of people that ask for really ridiculous stuff. Matter of fact, I had a guy walk in just a few short days ago and tell me, and I quote, "Hey man, whenever you're ready, I'm going to teach you how to make a couple of drinks." Now, he doesn't know that I've been a bartender for 17 years. He doesn't know that I have a large list of cocktails, not only from several previous jobs, but also stuff I've made on my own, and already stuff that's in my head, any of which could be delicious if he would just open his mind. But he also doesn't know that I'm a person of little patience. And the first thing you say to me when you sit down is, "I'm going to teach you to make some drinks." First thing I'm going to ask you is, "Well, what are your qualifications, sir?" And let me just go ahead and answer the question you might be asking. Yes, I can learn. No, I don't know everything about anything ever. But what I do know is that you're not going to win over the good graces of most bartenders by sitting down at their bar and telling them that you're going to teach them something. You want to get the hair on the back of somebody's neck going the wrong way real fast? That's probably one thing you could say. just an example of high maintenance people. And by the way, I told him, as he said he was going to teach me a drink, and he's like, all right, whenever you're ready, I'm going to tell you. It's kind of complicated. And I'm already busy, so my patience is already at 0 minus 1. So I took out a sheet of paper and a pen and put it in front of him. I said, there you go. Just write it down. You want to know what that recipe was? It was 2 ounces of well whiskey, Coke, 2 splashes of lemonade, and 2 squeezes of lime. Do you, for you at home, if you've never bartended before, did you just pause the show and go make that drink? Thought so. Not hard. And one, why do you think that you're so smart that you've just invented the wheel? And two, what? So I just used that as a backdrop. And actually, I'll tell you another story real quick. It actually happened the same day, just a few hours before. I had 3 women sitting at the bar. And they happened to be sitting in the corner where I'm making all the drinks. I'm at the service well at this point. And we're having a special where we're debuting certain drinks. We debuted like 4 of the drinks the week before, and we debuted 2 of the drinks that day. And so, predictably enough, they're drinks I have not been overly well practiced on. So I got to look at the recipe. So a woman catches me looking at the recipe a couple of times and says, oh, are you new here? You say it once. No, not new here. Just got to look at the recipes. About an hour later, she says it again. Are you new here? I said no. And I tried to deflect, and I just said, no, I don't have my glasses on me. It just takes me a second to see. About 45 minutes after that, she says, are you new to bartending? So at this point, my pride is now welling up a little bit. And I unfortunately bit back a little bit. I was like, well, obviously I'm terrible. She's like, oh, no, you're not terrible. I said, so why do you keep asking me if it's my first time? Obviously I'm terrible. You feel as if I'm doing something wrong to keep asking me. And so I realized I went a little bit out of pocket, because the last thing you want to do is to match snark with more snark. There are certain moments where, okay, let's try this. You can match snark with snark, but don't let it be riddled in insecurity or anger. Because if we learn anything from the movie 300, or from the first fight scene against Eric Killmonger in Black Panther, if you fight with anger, there's a chance you get sloppy. And I got sloppy when I started saying, oh, well, you obviously think I'm terrible. And so I pulled back. Waited for a little while. She had been drinking, by the way. She'd been drinking a lot. And I said to her, I said, so ma'am, can I ask you, do you have any honest feedback? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, you asked me twice if it was my first day working here. She said, no, I didn't. She said, no, I didn't. I asked you if you needed my readers. I said, well, you asked me that twice also, but you also asked me earlier 2 times if it was my first day here. So I would like to know if there was something you saw that was wrong that I need to improve on. So at this point, I'm actually trying to be rational with her. And she says, no, actually, I have no complaints, which is funny because usually wherever we go, me and my friends have complaints. And by the way, somewhere in the midst of this conversation, this same woman who asked me twice if it was my first day and if it was my first time bartending and if I needed to borrow her readers, she asked me if I was single for her friend that was sitting right next to her. Which if you're into that sort of thing, is one positive byproduct of having the mask off. If you want to be ogled, if you want to be noticed, if you want to be hit on, it kind of helps, I guess. Not necessary. So let me get back on the path. So I've given you two examples of people who have tested my patience in the midst of a busy night of making drinks and taking care of other people. With all that said, I give you the reasons as to why I would prefer to keep my mask on at work. One is that I have to remember to keep my expressions on mute. So before masks were a thing, I always had to remember there was like a 3 to 4 second window as to when and where I could make my facial expressions count. As you're walking away from a table, but not in direct view of any other tables or guests, and not as you're passing by any mirrors or anywhere in the back where you couldn't be seen. Those are like the three examples as to when you could have full-blown facial expressions to say, to expressively say how you felt about people. And when COVID hit, and when we had to put on masks, it was so much easier to hide just how much I dislike the behavior of a lot of people that come in to restaurants in general, most notably mine. And by the way, you notice how I said the behavior of people. I can tell you wholeheartedly that I don't know a lot of the people that come in there. I don't know what they are as parents. I don't know what they are as friends. I don't know what they are as coworkers or bosses or humanitarians. But as restaurant guests, there's a large percentage of them that are shit. Colossal Sir Julius, the Roman god of feces from Beavis and Butthead. Shit. And the more and more I need their money, the more and more I come to understand that if I'm going to take the mask off, my expressions have to be really effing muted. Because now, and those moments where I'm standing at the table writing down an order and somebody asks for something that, one, I can't say in Spanish, and two, my computer can't translate to the cooks, and I have that moment of, why are you here? Why can't you just order Domino's? Those are other moments where, if I'm not careful, I'm going to turn you off, you as a bar guest, real fast. Because the trick, the biggest trick, and anybody who has worked in the industry knows this, any industry of person-to-person sales knows this. The quickest and biggest trick is to not let the customer know just how wrong they actually are. Just how far they are putting you out. Just how, once again, how shit they actually are. It's hard. It is very hard. And years and years pre-COVID of having to condition my face in a certain way, those muscles got real lax and real loose when I put a mask on. And by the way, something I totally forgot to mention, yet another reason why I enjoy wearing a mask, whether I'm in the supermarket or at work, is feel free to send a psychologist my way if you'd like. I could stand to start seeing one once a month. The amount that I talk to myself to keep my head screwed on straight, especially at work, is kind of staggering, actually, sometimes. Like, sometimes I even could, because when you think about it, okay, let me just tell you real quick. I choose not to medicate. I will not take medication for ADHD or ADD, whichever one it is I get closer to having. I choose not to medicate. And I will always remember the words of Cliff Hodge. As a person, he may have been fine, but as a manager, I wouldn't have pissed on him to put a fire out. But he said to me one day, as he was recommending I get on ADHD medication, he said, "I recommend it to you. I would take mine, but I don't like the person I am when I'm on it." As much as I hated the man, his words stuck with me in that moment. Because for roughly the month that I went on antidepressants back in, I think it was 2011, I remember just how terrible I felt all the time. Did I give it enough time to cycle through and maybe create a new version of me and get past the side effects? No. But did I want to stick around to find out? Dear God, no. So I choose not to be medicated, and with that, I talk to myself a lot, kind of going through lists of what table is next, what drinks need to be rung up, what food has been put in, just kind of keeping a running out loud to me list of things that are going on. It's considerably more normal when I'm doing it at work, but I'm not gonna lie, you see my lips moving a lot when I'm at work because I have a lot going on. Because there's always kegs that need to be changed, there's always something that needs to be cleaned, there's always a spill that needs to be wiped up, there's always a table that needs a dessert comped off. And if I'm the manager on duty, I handle all of that. So while I'm in the grocery store, thinking about which granola to buy, I talk to myself. While I'm walking around, picking up produce, figuring out what I'm going to do for dinner, I talk to myself. And while I'm at work, trying to keep everything straight because I choose not to medicate, you're goddamn right I talk to myself. Having a mask on has protected me. It has absolutely protected me from looking as crazy as I could actually sometimes be. Or maybe I'm more normal than I think, and you're all like shaking your head and agreeing with me. I don't know. THEHRT3@gmail.com or alloftheaboveradio.com if you'd like to chime in on anything I've just talked with you about. And while I have your attention, I wanted to just vamp on something real quick. This is, so I've talked about the yellow legal pad before. The yellow legal pad, what all the stand-up comics do when they're working through material to figure out what is something versus what needs to never be turned into a joke. And I talked about the yellow legal pad whenever I would do All of the Above Radio. The amount of notes I took to get ready for a show was akin to a yellow legal pad. I had a yellow legal pad style thought process a couple weeks ago. After I got done watching Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision, two Marvel shows on Disney Plus. After I got done watching them, I was thinking about it. And for those of us who worked the whole time, who like were still driving to work every day during COVID, I thought about it as I got done watching. So if you're not familiar, WandaVision, okay. if you're not familiar, this conversation is going to go way over your head, but stay with me. Some of you are going to be nodding your heads, be like, oh shit, he's right. Some of you are going to be like, I got to call my friends who are on the nerdier side and have them explain this. So WandaVision is WandaVision was the show that depicted what it was like for people to return to life after Bruce Banner snapped his finger. And Falcon and Winter Soldier was an interesting take on the people that were left after Thanos snapped his. And I thought about it because here I am, a person who, if you want to play out the parallel, I lived through the snap. Thanos snapped his finger and it was COVID-19. And when so many people went home to work or got furloughed and just disappeared into their homes, that was Thanos snapping his finger. And the people that were left were restaurant people and hospital employees and liquor store employees and grocery store employees, all the essential workers. Those were the people who lived through the snap and ended up banding together, one world, one people. Whereas WandaVision was what it was like as people were coming back. This weird world of trying to readjust to what you've lost versus what you're getting back versus how do I reinsert myself back into the world. And as a person who, once again, one world, one people, as one of those people who was on much less crowded highways, much less crowded supermarkets, much less crowded restaurants and liquor stores and airport terminals, I'm not gonna lie, that's another way that I got spoiled in 2020. 'Cause there was just a lot less people everywhere. And it was kind of glorious. Now, I will not stand up and agree with Thanos' point. That's kind of not the that's not the point of all of this conversation. We're just having a fun back. There's no fourth until you email me. But we're just having a fun back right now about the ideas of what the last year have been and what it's like now that life has made a lot of, or at least America has made really big steps towards normalcy. When the state of California has loosened its reins and people are dining inside, when Pennsylvania is coming back to normal, when sporting events, when concerts are all going full capacity, no masks if vaccinated, we're getting pretty close. What we don't have just yet is airports. Which, by the way, as much as I dislike wearing a mask on a plane for 8 hours, I understand why. And by the way, I read an article just a few short days ago. So with the mask mandate on airplanes, you have most airports not selling alcohol on planes, which has given way to a very, what I think is a funny byproduct of people smuggling alcohol onto planes so that they can be drunk. Have we ever stopped to think that, or stopped to recognize that there is a sector of people in this world that cannot fly on a plane unless they are inebriated or under the influence of something? There are people that are so cripplingly afraid of being on a plane that they have to be under the influence of something. So not being able to buy a Jack and Coke or a Bloody Mary or some nice Sutter Home wine, they're probably like fearing getting on a plane. and looking for remedies. Now, there are just some people that are just, that just need to drink. There's that too. But whomever those people are, the article I read, there is more, there is an increasing problem of people being wasted on planes because they drank at the bar beforehand or they smuggled it onto the plane. Which is freaking hysterical. Now, I find it hysterical because I haven't been on that plane yet where somebody's caused a scene. So I may very well flip that perspective. The minute somebody causes a scene and we got to make an emergency landing because some drunk ass needs his ass whooped. Or hers, for that matter. But for now, it's pretty entertaining. And for now, I totally get it. Masks on planes, because until we start refilling the airports with employees so that they can start looking at your vaccination records or your COVID vaccination card or whatever it's going to take, we are a long ways away from taking your masks off on a plane. And you know what? I'm still on a plane going on vacation, so I'm okay. Really, I'm okay. You know what weird thought I just had? I really do, I guess the word is take for granted or forget to appreciate where I'm at in this world. The fact that I live in the United States of America, and as bent and broken as a country as it is racially and economically in so many ways, that it is a mess that we just keep handing over from president to president and telling them, it's the last guy's fault. You got this. There are still so many ways and so many reasons why being here is still so much better. I cannot imagine what it's like to be in Japan right now, a country that has already postponed the Olympics once, and as recently as, we'll say, 2 months ago, was absolutely thinking about postponing it a second time for fear of outbreaks of COVID. Or I think it's Brazil that has one of the worst population densities for COVID. There is so many countries that are absolutely, for lack of a better word, getting their asses kicked. I'm so privileged to have been born in the United States, where, if nothing else, we have people that are busting their ass to create and distribute and eventually monetize a vaccine. Because as much as the topic of masks has been a huge deal for the last year, we are definitely kind of in the first world problems section of conversation, because I couldn't even imagine what it's like to live somewhere like Japan right now. And that's not to say that all of Japan is in the midst of shambles. I'm not nearly newsworthy enough to know that for sure. I just know that there is a ton of countries not named the United States of America that are so much further behind in terms of their vaccine distribution or how they take care of their sick or how much room they have. Which, by the way, was the reason why so many of us restaurant people and quote-unquote essential employees were so scared to bring people back into the fold while we were working. When all you saw was those news stories of bodies being stacked on bodies and just being thrown in freezers because there was no room to put them anywhere, and nobody knew how anybody was getting sick. You just kind of watch that and you're just like, is that gonna happen to us if people want to come in and get a beer because they're sick of looking at their wife? I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I'm absolutely ecstatic in some way or another that I can be on this microphone talking to you and, for lack of a better word, complaining that I have to hide my face because people are assholes. And what I do understand, if I'm going to play the perspective game, I try my best to flip the coin for myself. You can't always do it because you don't have all the answers in your own mind. No matter how much you try to think like somebody else, you're not going to successfully do it. But I try to flip the coin on myself and quote Lil Wayne occasionally and say, I got my heart broke by this girl named Tammy, but hoes gonna be hoes, so I can't blame Tammy. How does this apply, you're asking? Well, assholes are assholes. Shit people are shit people. Entitled people are entitled people. And sometimes it's my own fault for trying to push the water back the other way. Sometimes I don't, in the moment, try to just have some fun with it and mess with them. Instead, I try to educate them on what they're doing wrong or how they need to be better. You'll see it. Not too terribly long ago, there was two people sitting at dead center of the bar, probably in their mid-70s, if not just a little higher. These are old folks. We're talking like people that when they went to dinner at a restaurant with their parents, the restaurant they went to, the server probably was leaning against the wall waiting for you, and you at the table waved as high as your hand could go to get their attention for them to get your order. Like Cafe Du Monde still does it in New Orleans to this day. That's what all restaurants were like, so I'm told. And so this 70-some-year-old man, I'm just kind of walking back and forth, pacing, doing things, pouring beer, pouring wine, checking in on the people sitting next to him, and he waves at me. And I said, you don't need to wave at me, I see you, I'm right here. And he proceeds to talk to me, okay. 6 or 7 minutes later, he waves at me again. I said, no, seriously, you don't need to wave at me. I'm right here. I'm going to see you. And then a third time, they both wave. And I said, now you're both waving. We're going the wrong direction. And he said, you'll have to excuse me. I'm old. And I took his order. I got him his beer, whatever the hell it is I did. And I'm standing at the computer, putting in some stuff, putting their food order in. And I kind of laughed at myself. I said, you know what? I'm the person right now trying to teach new tricks to this old dog. And that person not only has been doing that for however long he's been alive, but he's been doing it at places where they didn't ever seem to try to change his behavior. He's had so much reinforcement that behavior was okay, that behavior is okay. To the point where I'm the weird one trying to tell him, you don't need to wave. Those are the moments that I try to have perspective with myself and say, you are the one who is ice skating uphill right now. That doesn't mean I'm gonna stop, because I won't lie to you. When people walk in the door that says to go only, stand at the to-go table, looking at us like we're idiots because we're not sitting them, The first thing I say is, hey, you guys here for a to-go order? Oh, no, two? To sit outside? Host stands over there. I'm going to do it in the nicest way possible, but you probably, at any given point, you might think, oh, I came in the wrong door. If that's all you do, I did my job. I didn't tell you that you were stupid, but I at least told you, hey, there's rules, there's boundaries. Let's live within them. I hate to say it because it's very petty, but one of my favorite things is if somebody walks in the to-go door and they walk in and they point and say, can we sit here? I say, well, yeah, I guess, if that's what you want. And they have that beautiful moment of, oh, did we walk in the wrong door? Sorry about that. Suddenly, I'm your best friend. You just showed me a little bit of self-awareness. I'll take down that layer of douche I just gave you, and I'll be the nicest person in the world. I'll give you the best experience you ever had. Or at least pretty close to it. I always try for like B+ service. I don't ever want to give that service that's good enough that you mention me in a Yelp review, because then I've set the bar too high. And if you ever come back, I can't promise I'm ever going to give you that again. As a matter of fact, I had somebody tell me that once. Dude asked me my name. He's just like, oh yeah, Henry? Yeah, I remember you. You were much better last time. I was like, oh, well, what did I do better last time? And he's like, oh, I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember you were a lot better last time. So either that guy had really high standards, or he just reinforced why, if I give you B+ service, I don't set the bar too high. I am so lucky and privileged and hashtag blessed that I live in this country, that I work in the job that I work in, that these people that I find to be so terrible, and I do, I find it, I'm so gifted and lucky that they continue to bring money my way. This is me being kind of serious for one quick moment. Whether I'm wearing a mask, whether I'm not, every single dollar that comes to me from that restaurant is going towards the microphone that I paid for that I haven't been able to use yet, or the internet where I can broadcast this out into the world, or the music that I'm listening to in the background as I'm talking to you. Daft Punk, by the way. Or the wedding that I'm helping pay for less than a year from now. Or the masks that I once upon a time bought from Old Navy because we had no idea vaccines were anywhere in sight. I'm trying to bring it back for you. I may talk a whole lot of smack about them. I am talking a lot of smack about them. But financially, I sure do appreciate them. And in some way or another, they are the springboard to content. Does it make me happy in the midst of it? As they're questioning whether or not I'm a bartender for the first day in my life, or waving at me like I'm a... I will not say the word that's coming out of my... that wants to come out of my mouth. I'm gonna let that one go. I'm just gonna keep on moving. All this to say, I understand that this is a bit of a first world complaint, but anybody that has been annoyed by people and had to hide their expressions, or didn't hide their expressions fast enough and had to explain themselves, you all know what I mean. You all understand. And those of you who do understand, I give that half smile, nod the head, and say, you get it. Thank you. And I can't wait to hear your accompanying stories. THEHRT3@gmail.com or allofthe.aboveradio.com. The story of how wearing a mask saved you from somebody seeing your reaction, or how you were not wearing your mask and somebody saw you talking to yourself and they thought you were out of your freaking mind. I want to hear all your stories. Until then, you're just going to keep hearing mine. And once again, thank you. We'll do this again soon. And soon after that, and soon after that, and soon after that. This has been all new, all different, all of the above. May there be a next time. I say till next time.